ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. टेक्स्ट 5. श्री हिरण्यकशिपुर्वाच: हे दुर्विनीत मन्दात्मन् कुलभेदकराधम, स्तब्धं मच्चाशनोद्वृत्तं निश्चेत्वाद्ययमक्षयम्. श्री कृष्ण एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इज द भक्तिविदान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. हिरण्यकशिपु सेड, ओ मोस्ट इम्प्यूडेंट, मोस्ट अनइंटेलिजेंट डिसरप्टर ऑफ द फैमिली, ओ लोएस्ट ऑफ मैनकाइंड, यू हैव वायलेटेड माय पावर टू रूल यू एंड देयरफॉर यू आर एन ऑब्स्टिनेट फूल. टुडे आई शैल सेंड यू टू द प्लेस ऑफ यमराज. पर्पोर्ट: Hiranyakashipu condemned his Vaishnav son Prahlad for being durvinit, ungentle, uncivilized or impudent. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, however, has derived a meaning from this word durvinit by the mercy of the goddess of learning Saraswati. He says that duhu refers to this material world. This is confirmed by Lord Krishna in his instruction in the Bhagavad Gita that this material world is duhu khalayam, full of material conditions. Vi means vishesh, specifically, and neet means brought in. So by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was especially brought to this material world to teach people how to get out of this place. Lord Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. When the entire population or part of it becomes forgetful of its own duty, Krishna comes. When Krishna is not present, the devotee is present. But the mission is the same, to free the poor conditioned souls from the clutches of the Maya that chastises them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explains that the word mandatman means manda, very bad or very slow in spiritual realization. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadvata. Prahlad Maharaj is the guide of all the mandas or bad living entities who are under the influence of Maya. So, he is a benefactor even of the slow and bad living entities in this material world. Now, Kula Bheda Karadhama. By his actions, Prahlad Maharaj made great personalities who established big families seem insignificant. Everyone is interested in his own family and in making his dynasty famous. But Prahlad Maharaj was so liberal that he made no distinction between one living entity and another. Therefore, he was greater than the great Prajapatis who established their dynasties. Now, the word stabdam. Now, the word stabdam means obstinate. A devotee does not care for the instructions of the asuras. When they give instructions, he remains silent. A devotee cares about the instructions of Krishna, not those of demons or non-devotees. He does not give any respect to a demon, even though the demon be his father. Therefore, he is called as stabdam. Means obstinate. Machashanodvrittam. Prahlad Maharaj was disobedient to the orders of his demoniac father. Therefore, he is called such. Yamakshayam. Every conditioned soul is under the control of Yamaraj, but Hiranyakashipu said that he considered Prahlad Maharaj his deliverer, for Prahlad Maharaj could stop Hiranyakashipu's repetition of birth and death. Because Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, was better than any yogi, Hiranyakashipu was to be brought among the society of bhakti yogis. Thus, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained these words in a very interesting way, as they can be interpreted from the side of Saraswati, the mother of learning. Oh, Hare Krishna. So before I would begin, I would like to beg the blessings of all the senior devotees. Actually, I'm not very qualified to speak. And sorry for again appearing again after a Sunday feast. I don't intend to be here, but I was given this service to speak. So please tolerate me, my rantings. You know, I'm not speaking for anyone's, I'm speaking for my own benefit, for my own purification, because whatever obstacles I am facing in my spiritual life, I try to highlight it by speaking in my Bhagavatam class. So please accept my whatever little service. I respect the service which has been given to me. Hare Krishna. So today's verse is very amazing. It's a very nice verse. Especially the purport is very, very nice. And Prabhupada is directly taking the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is actually giving the different meanings of these words. So this the series which is going on is basically the offenses which Hiranyakashipu is committing towards Prahlad. So that is being narrated here. It's a series of offenses. It's abuses which Hiranyakashipu is giving to Prahlad, and that has been recorded. Generally, it is said when you hear any offense of devotees, you should go away. But here in the situation in Bhagavatam class, we can discuss the abuses of, you know, Hiranyakashipu, because fortunately we have the wonderful understanding given by Prabhupada and the Acharyas to actually understand what is the correct understandings or the correct interpretations of these words. So here it is said, Hey Durvinit, Mandatman, Kulabheda, Karadhama, Stabdam, Machashanodvrittam, Neshe, Twadi, Yamakshayam. So it's all abuses, but he says that that's not what Saraswati intended to speak. So Saraswati's meaning was different. So it's very amazing to see that how in this wonderful pastime, here it begins with Shri Hiranyakashipu Vacha. Now it is great respect has been given to this demon. Now we have to understand that even though we are reading and discussing about the infamous activities of Hiranyakashipu and the glorious activities of Prahlad Maharaj, but still Hiranyakashipu is glorious because as we know that he is Jay and Vijay, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were playing the role of demons. Especially, you know, last South Indian Yatra when we were going to take darshans of Narasingadev, Nava Narasingha, I was struck with awe actually and with great respect, because every time we were going to take darshan of Lord Narasingha, we saw Jay and Vijay on the left and right. And we were going inside to take the darshan of the Lord who killed those two people who were standing outside as doorkeepers. Actually, it is them. It's Jay and Vijay only. So they were playing the role of demons and setting an example for the common people what they must not be doing. Also, very important lesson we can learn here is that it is not necessary to do things which are always popular, but it is important to do what is pleasing to Krishna, which may not always be popular. And here we can see that Hiranyakashipu, everyone is kind of looking down upon Hiranyakashipu in one sense and glorifying Prahlad. But both of them, even Hiranyakashipu is a great soul, Jay and Vijay. And therefore, it is Shri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha. He spoke, Shri Hiranyakashipu. So, it is like that. We can learn so many things. The lessons which he is teaching from his personal example today is that he is the person who has reached the pinnacle of success in this material world. Pinnacle of success means no one has ever accomplished anything close to what Hiranyakashipu has accomplished in this world. And here we can see he's wild. And he's speaking these words of condemnation. He's disgusted basically. Imagine, I mean, he's got everything in this world and one small situation is enough to disturb the mind. Isn't it? I mean, a person who has accomplished the whole possibly anything that any person in this world could aspire to accomplish. And here he is, we can see him in distress. It is a revelation of Hiranyakashipu's mind and how disturbed he is. So we can understand that this world has been designed for misery. No amount of material adjustment will keep you happy. Hiranyakashipu is here. And all it takes is one small situation. If you have 99.999999% success, that 0.000001 will make you miserable. That one small thing, that's how it is. Like for example, it's a hot day and you know one wants to take a bath and we go to say Bana Ganga and take a nice cool dip and you're swimming in the water, it's so cool and very nice, enjoying it, it's just perfect. And then all of a sudden one, you know, some kind of crab or something comes from underneath and one small bite on the foot, one at the smallest toe of your body, one small bite, and that's enough. Immediately the person may jump out of the water and say, that's enough, enough of it. And all that pleasure of 99% of the part of the body is in bliss. But that one small toe is enough to make him miserable. Isn't it? Just see, that's how this world and this body has been designed. This mind has been designed. It has been designed for suffering. And it's not pessimistic to discuss like this. It is actually the fact that this world is a place of misery. The power of pain is greater than the power of pleasure. Because a little bit of pain is enough to disrupt all the infinite amount of quantity of pleasure that we get in this world. We can see that. And he has everything. He's got the huge palace, and he's got all the demigods at his command, and he's got wealth, fame, prestige, and everything. One small thing, his child is disobedient, he's a devotee of Lord Vishnu, that's it. Finished. And here, he's abusing, he's in a bad mood. See? I mean, this is what it is. This is how his material nature is. Like, there is a priest, you know, Krishna preached, a clergyman, and, you know, there was a person who came for counseling to him, and he said, "Father, please give me some solution." And he was, you know, just blurting out all the problems of his life, this and that, and this and that. So this priest, it's a true story. The priest said, "Look, you're telling me you're upset. I can understand. But frankly speaking, I just know 1,000 people who are free from all miseries in life. So really, please tell me, who are those 1,000 people?" He says, "They're lying in the graveyard. In the local crematorium, they're lying there. They are the only people peacefully sleeping in the graveyard, no problems whatsoever." That was the counseling he gave. Because frankly speaking, in this world, everyone is miserable. This world has been designed for suffering, basically. Only time you get peace is when one dies. Yeah? In one perception, in a particular... People say, you know, mar jaye to achha hai. And people say also, when they see dead bodies, how peaceful he is looking. Kitna achha hai, kitna shant. He died peacefully, actually. Why? Because throughout one's life, one is suffering, 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 suffering. Why? Because this material world is designed for that. If there is no devotional service, if one is not endeavoring to control one's mind to the perfection of 100% in devotional service, ananyas chintayantuvan, even if you leave 0.0001% incomplete in controlling one's mind in engaging in devotional service, there is going to be suffering. Therefore, Krishna says, ananyas chintayantuvan, you have to achieve complete success in devotional service, otherwise one will be miserable. This is the nature of this material world. This is the way how it is. Therefore, it is said, chinta yati, chita yati, bindu matra visheshata. Chita dahati, nirjivanam, chita dahati, jivanam. That, you know, chinta yati, chita yati, bindu. The only difference between these two words, chinta and chita, is what? The bindu. Chinta and chita, two words, only bindu. Bindu matra visheshata. Chita dahati, nirjivanam. The chita is what? The pyre. It is burning the dead, and chinta is burning the living. Basically, both are burning. While living or while dead. This is why? Because generally the world is devoid of devotional service. We can see that. Even today, so many rich people are there. And even if you claim that happiness, I'm very happy, I have no problems. But still, how long are you going to live? Even if you say you live for, you know, billions of years. You live for billions of years and you're enjoying unlimitedly in the heavenly planets. But what is it in comparison to eternity? Flash. That's it. Or what is billion, 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 trillion years of unlimited happiness? What is that in comparison to eternity? Flash. Because anything, any amount of time, comparison to eternity is nothing but a flash in time. Therefore, Krishna says in 9th canto, 20th and 21st verse, he says, Trai vidya maam saam bhuta papa yagya ishtva swargatam prarthayante. Te punya asand surayta lokam ashtanti divyan divideva bhogam. Tetam bhuktva swarga lokam vishalam shine punya martya lokam vishanti evam tari tarma anuprapanna gata gatam kama kama labante. In just these two words, in these two verses, Lord Krishna is explaining that even if you go to the heavenly planets, it's futile. Because you enjoy there unlimitedly, but you come back here, what's the point? So, just this coming, going business, stop it and just take shelter of me. That is the ultimate solution. Just take shelter of Krishna. So, that is the solution. That is the secret of success. So here Hiranyakashipu, through his example, is explaining that he's actually trying to tell us, Hiranyakashipu, that look, become like me, this is what you get. Misery, abject misery. So it is very wonderful that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given such a wonderful purport. Now nothing can be spoken apart from this. But all I can give is some references. Like, whenever some demon is abusing the Lord, it is actually not abusing. It is actually glorification. And there are other such instances in the Bhagavad which explains like that. Like for example, Indra, when Lord Krishna as a small baby was lifting the mountain, so before that Lord Indra became very upset at him, that you're the small child, how dare he does this, and he spoke few words in abusing, trying to abuse Krishna, and he says, Vachalam, Balisham, Stabdam, Agyam, Panditam Aninam, Krishnam, Martyam, Gopasat Chakrurapriyam. He says, this Vachalam, this talkative boy, Palisham, the small child, Stabdam, arrogant, Agyam, foolish, Pandita Maninam, thinking himself to be a great scholar, this Krishnam, this boy called as Krishna, Martyam, an ordinary mortal. But Acharya explained what it actually meant. Vachalam! What it actually means is, according to Goddess Saraswati's, Goddess Saraswati offering prayers through the words of Indra, it is explained that Vachala means, oh, how wonderful. You are speaking according to the Vedic aphorisms. You're speaking Vedic. Everything that you speak is Vedas. So, Vachalam. Palisham, you're just a child. You are as non-duplicitous as a child. The children are non-duplicitous. They don't have any kutinati. Very simple. And Stabdam is very arrogant. But actually it means he doesn't need to bow down to anyone. He's the supreme. He doesn't have anyone else to bow down. No one is above him. As Agyam, foolish, what it means, he says, Agyam means there's nothing more for you to know. You are all knowing. Pandita Maninam, which means foolish, but Saraswati is saying, Pandita Maninam, all the Panditas are also acknowledging your greatness. Pandita Maninam, you've been acknowledged, certified by great. Just like Arjuna says, Asito Devala Vyasa Swayam Eva Bhravishime Parabrahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Bhivum Asito Devala Vyasa Swayam Eva Bhravishime. So that's what it means, that all the Asito Devala Vyasa and all these people are actually glorifying you. As a Martyam, ordinary mortal, no, but actually you have come to this mortal world to deliver us. That's what it means. So you find that how wonderfully this thing is there, that Saraswati is actually, basically if you see from another point of view, from another perspective, that this is the glory of Sanskrit. You know, one word can mean so many different things. And therefore, we need an Acharya to explain to us what it actually means. Because, now if you see, if this shloka meant glorification, if Hiranyakashipu is speaking these words, and if he actually, if this verse means that he's glorifying Prahlad, then why is Narasingha Dev angry with Hiranyakashipu? I mean, Narasingha Dev became so angry with him that he explained that when he appeared, he just tore off Hiranyakashipu into shreds. Just like you put a vegetable or a carrot in a shredder machine, what you get out of all, you know, these long thread like, you know. So just like that. And it explained that the Hiranyakashipu's body just disappeared. And even Lord Narasingadeva was searching for the body. Where's the body gone? And Narasingadeva Bhagavan then had to shake off his hands, and then all the parts of the body came out from the nails of Narasingadeva. I mean, that goes to show many things, that how big Narasingadeva was and how tiny was Hiranyakashipu, and also goes to show that how angry was Narasingadeva when he appeared to kill Hiranyakashipu. Why? Because of the offenses. So if this verse did not mean any offense, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, then why is Narasingadeva so angry on Hiranyakashipu? The idea is that because the words may have this meaning or that meaning, but what really matters is the motivation with which a word has been spoken. Because Hiranyakashipu had ulterior motives. He did not intend it to be like this. Therefore, the meaning is as it is there in the translation. So what we can learn from this is that words are not so important. It's the motivation with which one speaks it, which is important. A person may speak harsh words, but it is spoken with love that is more better appreciated by the child. Because this is my mother and she's chastising me for my welfare. Because he understands that this is for my welfare. For my improvement. Therefore, the child doesn't leave home. Like the father sometimes may say, "You rascal," may tell the child. And when he goes out in the school also, his schoolmates may call, "You rascal." Now there's a difference between the mother calling rascal and the friends calling, or the, you know, his schoolmates calling him rascal. What is the difference? One has been spoken with love and affection, with the hope that this my son, the stupid son, will improve and become something in life. But when the schoolmates or some envious boys or outside, some mawalis are calling him rascal, what they intend is to pull him down, discourage him, break his confidence and all those things. So therefore, what is spoken is, what is taken actually is a motivation and not what are the words. Because sometimes one may appreciate, "Wow, wow, 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 kya, sahi hai, you did very nice." But actually, if it is the contempt, then it brings about disgust. But it is spoken with love, even a criticism is well accepted. So therefore, motivation is very important. You know, so that is the glory of Sanskrit. Like, you know, that's how it is. Sanskrit is, it's always like that. Because it has so many meanings. Like for example, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, many times people turn, Hiranyakashipu means, Hiranya means gold, Kashipu means bed. So because he was attached to gold and, you know, bed, which means, you know, he is called as Hiranyakashipu. But it can be taken as otherwise. Hiranyakashipu, how he was born, there is a story. Like Hiranyakashipu, when he was the son of Kashyap and Diti, and Kashyap was performing Ashwamedh Yajna, and he had invited all the great sages, and he had laid up the golden seat, a golden seat for the sages to come and sit and perform the Yajna. So one day Diti came there to participate in the sacrifice, and Diti was pregnant with Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And it so happened that she delivered at that time. And they were born on the golden seat. Therefore, his name became Hiranyakashipu. A boy was born on the golden seat. So that is another way how you can see it. I mean, generally say he was attached to gold and bed. Therefore, his name became Hiranyakashipu. But that's another way of seeing how Hiranyakashipu actually means. It means that a person who was born on the golden seat. Like that. So how to understand what is what? Because one Sanskrit word may mean so many things. You know, and that's where the shastras get misinterpreted. You know, because people are interpreting in their own ways and they come out with different conclusions. Therefore, it is so important to take the teachings in bona fide, through the bona fide system of parampara. Because that's the way Sanskrit is. Anyone can take these Bhagavatam and the Vedic literatures and, you know, give their own interpretations to it and be saying that this is what it means, this is what it means, and this is what it means, and come up with their own conclusions. Isn't it? And that's what actually the Britishers also did in one sense. When they came here, they invited the scholars and they would give out rewards that those who can prove that how the scriptures are unbonafide or there are contradictions in the Shastras, they will be given awards. And they would come up with saying that this word means this, and just see this word means this, and just see so much of contradiction, see the scriptures are all bogus. So, you know, just give it up. You know, and you see that how much of damage has been done. So, it is not that we can blame any one particular person, but generally, dharma deteriorates because one fails to follow it. And that's how there are different, you know, stimuli, we can say, or causes for degradation, but one can say that when one falls from the path of dharma, then automatically these are all the causes. Already India, dharma had declined, and therefore the Britishers and all those invaders had come here. So why you should blame anyone for the downfall of Vedic civilization? Basically, I feel that my personal opinion is that when one personally fails to follow dharma, then automatically there are other causes, you know, for degradation of dharma. So the blame goes not outside but within, you know, to the leaders who are upholders of religion, who kind of degraded and It brought about the infiltration of the foreign invaders, like that. So therefore, it is very important to get guidance according to Parampara. Otherwise, it can get misinterpreted. Every scholar may say, I know Bhagavat, I know this, I know that, and then they may propagate something. Like for example, Srila Prabhupada gave an example that in Calcutta, the government had come up with a legislation according to some section, and the lawyers had misinterpreted the words and had freed certain criminals. By misinterpreting the law, they freed some criminals. And Prabhupada said that the government, when they came to know, then they had to, reword the law. So just like the government has agents to see whether the expected results is achieved or not, similarly, the Lord also has agents to see that the intended purpose of the Vedas is being accomplished or not. So who are those agents of the government? The police, the judges, and the lawyers, etc., etc., who are representing the government. So similarly also, in this world, the messengers of God, the agents of God, are those devotees who are coming in the Guru Shishya Parampara, who are responsible for looking to the establishment of Dharma in this world. And therefore, when they see the deviations in the principles, eternal principles of devotion and of Shastras, then they bring it back. Therefore, it is so important to see to it that one receives instruction and guidance from authorities, from the Parampara. Otherwise, one may be bewildered, completely misguided. Because we can see that it's so easy to interpret Sanskrit in different ways. So, it's important. Like, Srila Prabhupada, there is a pastime. There was one Dr. Patel. And he was Indian body, studied in America. And he was teaching in America University. Some university there. So, he came once to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, so he was teaching Hinduism in the American university. So, there was a Prabhupada, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he was responsible in inviting him. He invited him. So he came and he sat. And Prabhupada said, so you are teaching Hinduism. So what is that Hinduism? So, he said, Patel, Dr. Patel said, you tell me what is Hinduism. I don't know what is Hinduism. Prabhupada said, you are teaching Hinduism and you don't know what is Hinduism? Just see. And he looked at Swarup Damodar and he said, what do you call a person who is teaching Hinduism and doesn't know what is Hinduism? Immediately quipped. He says, cheater, Prabhupada, a cheater. So Prabhupada said, see, a person who teaches Hinduism and doesn't know anything about Hinduism is called a cheater. Immediately the Dr. Patel became so angry. Immediately the hot argument ensued. And he said, you know what is Hinduism? Then you tell me what is Hinduism. So Prabhupada said, you don't tell the spiritual master to, give instruction to the spiritual master to teach you. You become a surrendered disciple. You shave your head like my disciples here. Then I will teach you what is Hinduism. The disciple does not tell the guru what he should be teaching him. You first surrender and then. Patel said, when I came into the room, I offered obeisances to you. Okay, you offered obeisances to me? Alright, so now I tell you, stop this bogus teaching of Hinduism and simply you surrender to Krishna. So, you tell me what is the meaning of surrender. You don't know what is surrender, Prabhupada said. You don't know what is surrender. Okay, let us see. Take the dictionary. See, look up the meaning of surrender. No, Patel said. No, I don't want dictionary meaning. I want the etymological meaning of surrender. So, you want the etymological meaning of surrender. So you don't want guru, you want a grammar teacher. You want grammar, etymological meaning. You want Sanskrit scholar, you want a Sanskrit teacher, you go to him. I cannot tell you anything, you go away from me. And all the Brahmananda immediately got up, big bodied. He said, okay, it's time to go. And he was ejected out of the room. And all of them were looking at Ravindra Swarup. You brought him. How dare you bring him? Such a person who is arguing with Srila Prabhupada like that. And he fell. felt a little bad. So the idea was that it may look very harsh and it may seem very strong, but actually the principle is very amazing. And I personally, in my spiritual life, I got a lot of conviction when actually I understood, because, you know, outside world is all full of speculation. People take great pride in speculation. You know, and when I heard this argument that how there are various ways in which shastras can be interpreted, therefore one must always take the correct understanding from the upholders of religion. When I heard this, I was tremendous faith on the Vedic literatures or on the process and on the parampara and everything. So this is a very important principle, that we must look for pleasing the guru, and then only the true purport of the shastras can be revealed to us. Otherwise it will just be, you know, just Sanskrit and, you know, the various interpretations, and one can go on and on and never come to the essence of what it truly means. Because the shastras are full of it, actually. In fact, there are other sections, like in the 10th canto, 50th chapter, 17th verse, like Jarasandh. And he attacks Krishna and Balaram, and Balaram and Krishna both come in the battlefield, and they're face to face, Jarasandh and Krishna and Balaram. And Jarasandh looks at Krishna and he says, Purishadham Guptena Tvaya Manda Bandhu Yahi. And he's giving him all these words. So again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comes into the picture and he says, Purishadham, it means lowest. Lowest of all the Purushas, all the mankind, you are the lowest. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Purishadham means what? The one who makes all other Purushas go down. He is Purishadham. That refers to Krishna. And says, Guptena, you are always hiding. Jarasandha is telling Krishna, you are always hiding from people. So he says, Guptena. So he says, this refers to Paramatma. Krishna is Paramatma and is hiding in everyone's heart. That is, refers to Krishna. Tvaya Manda, you are a foolish, you fool, he's telling Krishna. You fool, Tvaya Manda. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur breaks the word. Tvaya Amanda means you are the greatest intelligent person. You are very alert. And says, and you are the killer of your own bandhu. Because he killed his uncle, you know, Kamsa, and he was the relative of Jarasandha also. So he says, you are the killer of your own relative, bandhu. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comes into the picture and he says, bandhu. Bandhu means bandh, which means material bondage. So the one who frees people from material bondage is Krishna. So therefore, it is correctly applied. So amazing, this is how it is, you know. And he says, Yahi, get lost. He says, Yahi, get lost. He's telling Krishna, I will not fight with you. So again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, get lost means, no, go, and please deliver all the conditioned souls from bondage. Please go. And so that is how, it's amazing, how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is such a genius, that he is so wonderfully. And also other people like Shishupal, and, you know, they have abused the Lord. They've intended, actually, they intended to abuse the Lord, but Goddess Saraswati always intervened and glorified the Lord through their words. And there are other cases also, like in Chaitanya Leela, there is one poet, Bengali poet, who came. And he approached Bhagwan Acharya and he said, I have composed this wonderful poetry glorifying Jagannath Ji and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please, I want to present it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please give me an audience, you know. So he said, no, we can't do that. You know, Swarup Damodar is in charge. He's the secretary and everything goes through him. He's the censor board. So if you have to go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to go through Swarup Damodar. So it's all right, you know, just give me an audience with Swarup Damodar. I'll present my case to him. I'll present my poetry to him. And then if he sanctions it, I'll go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So somehow or another, after repeated requests, you know, Bhagwan Acharya went to Swarup Damodar and he said, you know, here is a, you know, he wants to compose nice poetry. Why don't you take a look? And Swarup Damodar said, all right. So bring him. So then this Bengali poet with great enthusiasm, he, you know, presented his case and his poem. And he says, Lord Jagannath, who's just like the body, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared, who's like the soul for the body. Swarup Damodar was looking at his, what poet? And all the people who actually could not, who were not so expert, were actually glorifying. Ooh, what glorification, what poetry, unmatched, unparalleled, amazing. And Swarup Damodar was disgusted, and at the end of it he says, stop this. He said, I mean, what is this? You are offending the Lord. And the Bengali poet was shocked. I mean, what? I was trying to glorify the Lord. He says, no, you are saying that you are comparing the Supreme Lord Jagannath to a body which is perishable. How can he do that? And you are comparing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to a soul whose infinitesimal spark. This is offensive. And then the Bengali poet, he was completely flabbergasted. He was shocked, and he said, I'm sorry, I mean. And then Swarup Damodar actually went to give the correct understanding. He says, this is what it means. That Jagannath is the Supreme Lord himself, but he is stationary and he cannot move out. Anyone who takes darshan of Lord Jagannath will get delivered, but he does not move out. Only those coming to take darshan of Jagannath in the temple gets delivered. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful. He goes out and gives his mercy to the whole world. And that way he gave the correct interpretation. He said, this is how Saraswati intended it to be. But you have had an offensive attitude and the wrong understanding. But somehow, because you intended, in some corner of your mind, you had some intention of glorifying the Lord. Therefore, you know, you have got some mercy of the association. And the Bengali poet, he became very humble and he said, yes, yes, I am sorry, extremely sorry. And took a humble position, and he lived with the association of devotees ever since. So this is the very important principle that how, you know, how a thing can be misinterpreted. You know, in our 6-session course, we have a slide. I don't know who put it there. Probably someone. There's a yogi who's meditating on Durga Mata, and he's praying, Hey Ma, Hey Ma. And another slide, you know, we show it to the outsiders who come, you know, the 6-session course people. And another young boy, he's also thinking, Hey Ma, Hey Ma. And he's thinking about a Bollywood film actress. You know. So the words can mean so many different things. We explain to them that how a word can be misinterpreted. For that matter, even word. I used to, you know, go to school, and I used to teach value education previously. So one devotee told me one anecdote. That one boy, he misses school, and the teacher asks him, you know, why were you absent yesterday? And he says, "Oh, kya wo main gir gaya tha, lag gayi thi." Oh, okay, theek hai. And his friend was with him, and he was amazed, and he says, what? I mean, you were playing with me yesterday. You were perfectly okay. And why are you saying like this? So he said, no, basically what I wanted to intended to say is that bistar pe gir gaya tha aur aag lag gayi thi. So, you know, everyone does it all the while, isn't it? I mean, they say something, it intends to mean something, especially like devotees, you know, when you meet devotees. And when they know, I mean, especially the new devotees who are just becoming devotees, like sadhakas, like, you know, not even standing 16 rounds. And when they know they are coming to meet devotees, and they know what devotees are going to ask. Japa kiya kya? Huh? So they will think of something else, you know, like japa means what? And they'll ask, so have you been chanting? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Or Prabhuji, kaise theek hai, sab kuch? And then afterwards when you inquire, acha, kitna mala kiya? And then you come to know what they did. जप नहीं माला नहीं मैं अपने माइंड में करते रहता हूँ मन में करते रहता हूँ पूरा दिन जप ही करते रहता हूँ पूरा दिन चलते रहता है अच्छा माला भी नहीं किया नहीं माला चलते रहता है अच्छा क्या किया कितना महामंत्र तो पता है ना आपको हाँ वही जो श्री कृष्णा शरणम मामा एंड ऑल डिफरेंट देन यू कम टू नो व्हाट ही हैज बीन चैंटिंग व्हेन यू गो इन टू द डिटेल्स व्हाट हैव बीन चैंटिंग एंड यू नो हाउ मेनी राउंड्स हैव बीन चैंटिंग व्हेन दे हैव बीन चैंटिंग बट यू से जपा किया हाँ जपा तो किया. Why? Because they have, you know, reasoned out in their mind that when asked japa kiya, they will say yes. But don't inquire further, because then they have their different conceptions of japa. You know, it happens practically, isn't it? We have seen that. So therefore, it's very important. The motive has to be, you know, straight. Otherwise, one can speak so many other things, and that's what happens, like that. So Hare Krishna. So the time is nearly coming to an end. So I will just, today is also the disappearance day of two wonderful devotees, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Raghunandan Das Thakur. Vamshidas Babaji, na? Vamshidas Babaji, yeah, okay. Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj and Raghunandan Thakur. So two wonderful devotees. So just I will speak a little bit. Raghunandan Thakur was the son of Mukund Thakur. And there were three brothers, Madhav Das, Narhari Sarkar and Mukunds. And there were three brothers living in Srikanda, and Raghunandan Thakur was Mukunda's son. So this Raghunandan was such a great devotee that once when these three brothers went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looking at all the devotees, he said, "Oh, Mukunda, so your son is Raghunandan Thakur. Is that correct?" So Mukunda said, No, actually, Raghunandan Thakur is my father and I am his son. Because he is more advanced than me in Krishna consciousness." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, that's right. From whomever you get your inspiration, he is your spiritual master. He is your father, truly your father." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acknowledged the great devotion of Raghunandan Thakur. And he told Raghunandan Thakur that you must worship the deity. And if you go to Srikhanda, still there is a deity there. Which he had worshipped. And there is a pastime that when he was young, 5 years old, again, Prahlad is 5 years, and Raghunandan Thakur is also 5 years. There's something wonderful about this 5 years. He was worshipping, and Mukunda, his father, was saying that, "I am going out of station, so please, here is some bhoga, please offer it on a daily basis. This, our family traditions, do it accordingly, with devotion, while I'm out." So Raghunandan Thakur goes to the Lord with the bhoga and he says, "Oh Lord, please now accept this." And he chants all the mantras. And the Lord appears, and he's upset and he's saying that, "Please Lord, why didn't you accept my offering?" And he starts crying. He says, "Please, if you do not accept it, my father will be upset. This is our family tradition. We are supposed to do this. Please accept, please accept, please come, take. And the Lord becomes compassionate to him and he says, "I have already accepted, my dear devotee, I have already accepted, I have seen it and I have accepted. Seeing is as good as tasting for me, don't you know the philosophy?" And, in the words of His Holiness Radharath Maharaj, Raghunandan Thakur says, "I do not understand any advanced philosophy, I just know that I have offered so many laddus and it's all there, that means you have not eaten, please come and take." So the Lord personally appears, the deity personally appears, takes the laddus and finishes it off. And Raghunandan Thakur is not in the least amazed. How did this happen? He just went off as a matter of fact. And the father comes and he says, "Where's Mahaprasad?" "Mahaprasad? What Mahaprasad? I fed it to the Lord. He ate it." "So what? How is that possible? You might have eaten it probably." He doubted, but he thought, "Let me check." So again he said, "Please offer bhoga. Again, you go ahead." So, in the next day when he offered, same thing happened and Mukunda was standing behind the curtain waiting to see what is happening. Is he going to eat inside the altar? And he found that the Lord appeared again. He just took a little piece of a laddu and kept it back and he disappeared. And from that day onwards, Mukunda realized that my son is really a great devotee. He is greater than me in devotion and surrender to the Supreme Lord. And he accepted. This was a great reputation. So, what we learn here is how the deity is actually the Lord himself. The Lord himself. And how he manifests through the devotion of a devotee. It doesn't matter whether one is very advanced, learned, scholar, or if it may be a small child, 5-year-old, and he's simply offering with love and devotion, then the Lord is ready to accept. It doesn't take anything for the Lord to appear in front of us. All it takes is sincere devotion. Hare Krishna. So, thank you very much for tolerating. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Govind.